Welcome to Torat Imach Hanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Yud Dalad, the 14th Perek. This is the last of the three prakim which deal with Iyov's final speech in round number one of the friends' discussions. Starting from next Perek will be round number two, where once again Eliphaz will present his idea, then Iyov will respond, then Bildad will present his idea, then Iyov will respond, and then finally Tzofar will present his idea, and Iyov will respond. The Perek we're going to learn today is somewhat depressing in that we get a real insight into the shallow view of Iyov's understanding of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and really understand what's causing him so much agmas nefesh, so much pain, and so much misery beyond the scope of just what he has experienced. He starts the perek with the bleak description of human life. He says, Adam yulud isha, human beings are born from women, katsar yamim usva roges, their life is incredibly short and it's filled with troubles and problems. It's a hard life. And what is that life really like? Katsitz yatsa v'yimol. It's almost like a flower, a plant, which comes forth and then it withers and just gets destroyed. V'yivrach katsel v'lo ya'amod. It runs away. It goes away like a shadow and it doesn't last. Af al zeh. And God, despite the fact that life is so meaningless and pointless, it's like a shadow that goes away. Despite all of that, you still want to look at me. You still want to cause me such suffering. Oti tavi b'mishpat imach, and you're judging me. The Ramban explains. Remember that Iyov understands that life is meaningless to the extent that there is no such thing as hashkacha pratis. There's no such thing as God's divine providence. Here we see why he thinks there's no such thing as God's divine providence. He essentially says the human race doesn't deserve hashkacha. The human race is meaningless and pointless. And if you have to summarize it as what it is, it's just a passing, fleeting thought. And if so, why would Hashem cause me suffering? Why is Hashem causing me so much pain when I, in my life, am so meaningless and so pointless? And here we start to get a sense of really what, as I said, is causing him his pain. His pain is not simply being caused by his losses and his incredible suffering, but also by his bad hashkafa. His worldview of human life is so pointless, so lacking in godliness and importance and in Hashem loving him that is actually what's preventing him from having a nechama, from having comfort. One of the foundations of Jewish thinking is that Hashem loves us. Hashem cares about us. Hashem wants to have a relationship with us. And if I view my entire world as God being big and scary up there judging me, but me, I'm pointless, I'm meaningless, I'm like a fleeting nothing, then what's the function of anything? Then how can I wake up in the morning if I can't say, Mode ani lefanecha, thank you Hashem, shechazarta binishmasi, that you've given my life to me? Because my life, number one, is pointless. And number two, Hashem didn't return it to me. It's just part of the way that nature works. Then what's the joy, what's the simcha that I feel in the morning and in every moment of my life? And so Iyov continues on this dismal, bleak description of life. And he says, Pasuk Dalad, Mi yitain tahor mitame lo echad. Who is able to purify that which is impure? No one. What does he mean about that? He's talking about the human race. We're born in impurity. You can hear the Christian kind of undertones of this. We're born in sin. We're born from sin. We're born from human beings who are full of sin. And who can take that and flip it around and make it something good? No one can. There's nothing you can do to that. So therefore, life is meaningless. And even, Pasuk Hey, if we were to say that life is meaningful, let's see. Im charutzim yamav mispar chadashav itach. If you would say that his days are decided, let's say there's something that's predetermined and his days are decided, then what happens? Chukava sita v'lo yavor. If we say that his months and his days are numbered, then Hashem you have made limitations on his life which cannot be passed. In other words, God, if life is meaningless, so then what's the function of anything? And if life has a purpose, you have created so much limit to the human race. Remember, the Malbim believes absolute limit to the human race, or limit in our lives, or limit. Our life is full of limitations. Remember last parak, he feels like he's stuck in a box and he can't move. So then it's also purposeless. There's no point in anything. So God, Pasuk Vav, Sha'a me'alav v'yechdal. God, please turn away from him. Give him a break. Stop giving mankind such a hard time. His life is so fleeting and so silly and so short anyway. Just turn away from him and give him a bit of space. Ad yirtzeh k'sachir yamav, until he can do the work that he's meant to do. And this description of being a sachir, a hired worker, we've seen already in the worldview of Eov. He views his life as he's here to get his work done, just leave me alone and get my work done. What he's obviously missing is that human suffering is not a mere inconvenience that prevents us from doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. Sometimes human suffering is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. Rav Schwab has a fascinating take on the famous piece in Pirkei Avos, which says, in Pirkei Avos it says, Al tomar, a person should not say, Lekashe efne eshne, when I have time, when my life is freed up, when I'm no longer dealing with the challenges of life and the suffering of life, then I will learn Torah. A person shouldn't say that. Why? Shema, because perhaps lo tifane, you won't actually have your time freed up. And Rav Schwab says, maybe what it's saying is Shema, perhaps, lo tefaneh, what Hashem doesn't want you to have freed up time to learn Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to figure out how to thrive and how to do good despite and maybe because of and through your suffering, not just when life is over. In other words, we're saying that human suffering is not just something that we're meant to get through so that we can carry on with our lives. Sometimes human suffering is something we're meant to figure out, to live through, to experience, to be changed by. And that's something which Eov is absolutely not willing to consider, despite the fact that the friends are implying that that's something he should be looking into. And if you think that this worldview is miserable, he continues to compare human beings to trees and to plants. And we've spoken a lot about how Sefer Eov is full of plant imagery. And here, in this miserable description of life, essentially what he's saying is trees are on a better state, in a better better worldview, in a better reality than human beings, because trees can get up, can build again, can grow even if they're chopped down, whereas human beings can't. Look what he says. He says, "Ki yesh pasuk zayin, ki yesh le'etz tikva." There is hope for a tree. In other words, there's no hope for humans. Trees have hope, however. Im yechares v'od yachalif, if a tree becomes chopped down, v'yonakto lo techdal. However, if there's a little sprout that's in the middle, it will still be able to grow again. It won't be entirely cut down, right? It's not going to stop it from being able to be reborn and to grow. Im yaskin ba'aretz, if the tree gets very old in the land, sharsho, its roots become dead inside the ground, or ba'afar yamut gizo, and its trunk becomes dead in the dirt. What will happen then? Pasuk tes, me'reach mayim yafriach. If you put a little bit of water on over that plant, it will begin to blossom once again. Vosek katsir kamonata, and it will grow up, and it will once again produce growth just like a plant. However, human beings, he says, what about humans? Humans don't have that. And remember, he does not believe in Trias HaMesim. He doesn't have hope. He doesn't believe that there is something to look forward to and something to grow towards. Trees have something to grow towards, but human beings essentially are pathetic. Gever yamut pasuk yud, human beings die, v'yechelash, they become weakened. V'yigva adam ve'eyo, human beings pass on, and where are they now? They're gone, they're dead, there's no hope. You go to a cemetery, you see plants growing, you see trees blossoming, but human bodies, they're over. It's gone. Ve'ish shachav v'lo yakum. Human beings lie down at the end of their lives and they don't get up. Ad bilti shamayim lo yakitzu, until all the ends of earth, they're not going to wake up again. V'lo ye'oru mishnotam, nothing is going to waken them up. There is no point to life. There's no point to this life because it's meaningless and it's pointless. And there's no point, there's no point in death because there's no hope after that. I can't handle this. This is impossible. This is such a difficult way to view the world. And if we stop and we understand if this is how Eeyore views the world, the fact that he's even standing up and arguing about this is quite admirable. If you view life as entirely meaningless, if you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, doesn't care about you and have a relationship with you, then the fact that you stand up and say, I seek truth, I seek meaning, is, well, that's pretty impressive. Because so far, all you've described is meaninglessness. And again, we hear this dichotomy where on the one hand, Eeyore is saying, I have hope, I believe there's answers. And with that same mouth, he's saying, I have no hope, I think that there are no answers. And maybe this is what compels the Malbim later on in the Sefer to actually claim that Eeyore doesn't believe a single thing he's saying. Eeyore is just doing this as a thought experiment. He's trying to figure out the limitations of the human mind, but he doesn't actually fully buy in to his cynical worldview. And that's a hugely optimistic view of Sefer Eeyore. But remember, the Malbim is an optimist. And here he wants to say that maybe Eeyore doesn't really believe any of the stuff that he's saying. If we go with the opinion that he does believe it, well, then he's in deep, deep trouble. Because as the Ralbag points out and others, this is a human being who is spiritually broken. This is a human being who looks at life and he doesn't see meaning. He doesn't see purpose, and therefore there is nothing to live for. I once heard from a Holocaust survivor who survived Auschwitz, how she described how every morning she woke up and she was surprised. She was surprised at how many people didn't take their own lives. It was very simple in Auschwitz to take your life. You just had to run towards the electric fence and you would either be electrocuted or shot and your life was over. And yet she said all of these people, despite the immense unthinkable suffering that they went through day in and day out, continued to wake up the next morning, continued to hope and to exist and to thrive. If you look at Eeyore's worldview, which is that human's life is pathetic, meaningless, hopeless, and irrelevant, and life after this life is hopeless and irrelevant, then such a human being couldn't possibly have the motivation to continue to exist. And he goes on and he describes how he would think if the world did have a point. Pasuk Yud Gimel, he says, "Mi yiten b'sha'ol tetzbineni v'tastireni ad shuv apecha Hashem." It would be pretty cool, actually, God, if you could hide me under the earth. In other words, let me die, put me in my grave, and just wait a little bit until your anger subsided. Tashitli chok v'tizkareni. And then you would keep me there for a limited amount of time, and then you would remember me, which is actually how Jews view this world, right? He says, that would be actually quite nice. Im yamut gever, if a human being dies, hayichyeh, could he live again? Kol yamei tzva'i ayachel. If that was so, then all the days of mine, he describes his life as army service, all the days of my service to God, I would have hope. Ad bo Khalifati, until the day that I would be able to be to live again. That would be really nice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it was different, if the world was different, then I could handle it. Then I would be able to handle this reality. And then he goes on and he says, I can't even begin to imagine a world in which God would want to have a relationship with me. He says, imagine that. Imagine a world in which Tesvav Tikra V'Anochi E'eneka. He says, imagine a world in which you would call. If you called out to me, God, I promise you, I would answer you. Lemasei Adecha Tichsof. If you wanted to have a relationship with the things that you created, that would work for me. I would be totally okay with that, Hashem. And then once again, he goes back to this deep, depressing description of nature and how nature gets corroded and falls away and is totally meaningless. And once again, he finishes his final speech with this depressing view of the world where he says, Yechabdu bana v'lo yeda. When I die, the honor of my children will not be known to me. Everything will fall away. The yitzaru v'lo yevin lamo. And all their suffering also will be meaningless to me. Ach b'saro alav yichav. When a person is dead under the ground, the only thing they know is the decay of their own flesh. V'nafsho alav te'aval, and he mourns his own soul. I'm going to die and be miserable, just like I live and be miserable, because there really is no hope for anything. And here we delve deeply into the depressing state of himself, and an understanding that, again, once again, he is being caused so much misery by his own thoughts, and his own enemy maybe is his worldview itself. Our learning today was sponsored by the Nach Yomi Chavruta in loving memory of David Hanan ben Michael Verachel, whose short years, despite immense challenges, were filled with Torah, family, and joy. His life left an indelible mark on our community and beyond. May the schus of our learning give his neshama an aliyah, and may his legacy continue to inspire.